Hello and welcome to Twin Peaks Investing. This is Peter Higgins at Conkers 3 on Twitter, and I'm with my good friend and the finance guru, and everyone loves him anyway, at Wheelie Dealer. Peter, how are you today, mate?
Yeah, I'm good, mate. Not bad. Not bad at all.
Just to tell everyone that we are now in February. It's the 7th of February. We're recording this. It's nearly 6:15 in the evening. So whatever Pete says, he cannot affect the market. Let's just bear that in mind. Okay.
We're not going to move anything today.
Not going to move anything now, mate. We're in the
what, even if I tell you I've caught a virus?
Oh, don't.
That's a bit against the knuckle.
Don't, Pete. Mate, listen, since you mentioned the Russia and whatever, I've had loads of people listening in from Russia and the Ukraine. I'm already twitching, mate, so don't even start.
Mate, before we get stuck in, a quick technical question. Have you got your spoffle? Are you wearing your spoffle?
No, I'm not wearing a spoffle, Peter. Do you want to explain to our good listeners what that is?
Apparently, when you have like a microphone thing, you know, it has like that little hat on it, the little, you know, like the Grenadier Guardsman, the bearskin.
Yes.
That apparently is a spoffle, which is an amazing fact I discovered this week. There you go.
Is that to stop the spittle and the saliva and all the other moisture? Yeah.
A spoffle for your spittle.
Right. Okie dokie. See, folks, we've already digressed and we're only 2 minutes in. Hello and welcome to this podcast. We're trying to do loads of stocks. Oh. Ladies and gents, thank you ever so much for subscribing to the podcast. Thank you for retweeting. Thank you for your feedback. We're learning, we're getting better, and we're so thrilled that you're still enjoying it. And we shall continue to supply you with insights and our own learning as we go along. So thank you ever so much for that.
Oh, big time. And we're absolutely thrilled that people are still listening. You know, we thought they'd listen to a couple and that would be it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, Pete, we can't really step into this podcast without talking about the coronavirus, or whichever, lots of people pronouncing it differently. But, you know.
Yeah, I just call it the virus.
The virus.
Or Cyrus the virus is the other term.
I mean, in all seriousness, you know, we've got to consider this because it's in Asia. It started in China, allegedly, and we're sitting here in Europe, and there is worry. There are certain different levels of I'd say levels of panic.
Yeah,
we've seen the buses taking people to certain hospitals. You know, despite the fact that the bus driver was, you know, dressed normally, everyone else was in their haz gear, which I always found bizarre.
Hazmats.
And we've got to consider the fact that thus far, you know, the World Health Organization still don't know exactly what they're dealing with here, folks, right? And those are the people that need to know. They need to find a cure. The Chinese need to know what they've got in order to deal with it. There's lots of different talks, lots of different speculations. The fact is, what's known, 7 to 10 days incubation period, right?
Yeah.
Last night, the number was 620 deaths from it, 618 from that Wuhan province in China. We've had, I think it was 83 or something like that, 80-odd UK citizens returned, some of those of Chinese background and various other backgrounds. And so far, we've got three people that we know of who are UK residents who have returned with it and have been quarantined.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got to take this thing with a level of seriousness, because now the travellers at risk list now includes China, Thailand, Japan, Republic of Korea, Hong Kong, Taiwan, Singapore, Malaysia, Macau. So, you know, and I think there's a ship where someone's been taken off a Caribbean.
I mean, the ship thing sounds awful. It's like there's all these people on a ship, and maybe I heard wrongly, but it sounded to me like there was a lot of people on that ship had actually got it. And I mean, it's horrendous.
I didn't hear that lots of people had it. I heard that they took one person off, but there's lots of people on these cruises. They're massive, massive ships, Pete. I don't know how many people have got it on that, you know, main.
Well, I might be wrong, but I'm sure I heard that something like 40 people who are on that ship have got it. It was something like that. It's a ridiculous number. And I'm, you know, I feel awful for the people on the ship because you really wouldn't want to be on there, would you?
No, you
know,
wouldn't.
That's,
you wouldn't.
I mean, it's just a horrible thing. I mean, one of the things that hits me about it, I mean, when you look at the mortality rate, it's running at about 2%, which actually is not that high. But the thing that I don't like about it is that it seems to be getting, you know, they were saying before, it was like, oh yeah, if you're elderly or if you've got, you know, certain underlying problems already, then it's a danger to you. But, you know, I'm getting the impression that quite a few younger people who are pretty healthy are getting hit by it. So
absolutely, and there's another element to it as well, Pete. There's a Chinese lady that was infected with it that's been cured, that was in her 70s. I think she might have been 78 years of age. So the whole spectrum is being tilted. Each time there's new news coming out, it's being changed. And I think, you know, these organisations are finding out as they're going along, which is causing the confusion, you know?
Oh, yeah, and that's it. And it is difficult to know what we can believe and what, you know, what we shouldn't.
Absolutely. I mean, for me, you know, and if you want to be looking at it purely from a investor's perspective, how is it going to impact you, me, and other people, right? And you want to become just, you know, I don't want to say selfish,
let's look at it from an investment point. It's awful what is happening, and
it's absolutely
just
awful.
Terrible
what's going on.
Died and stuff, and
absolutely. So you've got to
but,
be mindful.
Yeah, we are an investing.
Yeah, you've got to be mindful that this stuff's happening. It's going on, and you can't ignore it, and you can't belittle it, because at some point or other, there's going to be somebody, in another country who knows somebody that you know, right?
Oh yeah, I mean, no doubt about it.
At some point or other.
Yeah.
So it's not no longer an isolated thing. There's going to be countries. You know, we've got some in the UK as we speak that are that could be potentially infected. We've got three that's been declared, and they're going to be dealing with that accordingly. You know, and across Europe, there's going to be more. You know what I mean? So we've got to be mindful. So as investors, how's it going to impact us? Well, you've got to look at your portfolio, ladies and gents. Look at your portfolio and look at which companies that you have which require supplies from China, Asia, etc., which are exposed to China. You know what I mean? For a variety of different reasons. Have staff, have outlets, have subsidiaries, etc., etc. Sell their resources, sell their products, their pharma, blah, 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 to China. Yeah? Those are going to be impacted. Whether it be impacted over a very, very short space of time or not, you've got to be ready and think, is it going to be impacted to the severity where this company that I own, which is holding up quite well now, 2 months from now is going to issue a profit warning? And if so, should I take some off the table now, or should I exit the stock now? You know, because no one knows how long this is going to drift and drift and drift and drift and carry on for. Next week,
that's a big problem. I mean, I think
next week they could come out and say they found a cure for it, and you know, everyone's happy days and the market runs off to the races, but we just don't know.
I mean, I think, you know, how long it goes on for is definitely an issue. And if it starts to spread to more countries, I think that will be a concern. The biggest issue I'm seeing is that, you know, the whole economic impact in the airlines and, you know, manufacturing and whatever in those districts and stuff are getting really hit. And that, you know, that's got to affect the Chinese economy. I mean, one thing that came out this morning, Burberry, BRBY, they put out basically a profit warning saying, you know, we're going to be hit by the issues around the virus. And what really hit me, I mean, I haven't looked since to see how much they were down now, but when I looked this morning, they were only down like 2% or something. So it was like some of it was priced in already, but I thought that's a massive underreaction. Yeah, you know, I think Burberry could drop a lot more than just 2% this morning. I mean, you know, it's probably down a little bit more now. But it really surprised me how little it got hit. And that's, you know, luxury clothing and whatever. Demand is just drying up for them. And it's affecting their shop staff and things. You know, they've told loads of staff not to go to work.
And this is what you keep seeing videos of certain cities in and around the Wuhan province where the motorways and the airports and everything is just shut down.
Yeah. Right,
so nothing's going in. and nothing's coming out. So, you know, that was is a big tech province as well, as well as, you know, all the other stuff that they did.
And, well, yeah, was it Hyundai or somebody, I think I read, came out today saying that they were having problems with supplies of manufacturing parts.
Absolutely.
Because of it.
That's what you're going to have, mate. So you've got to be mindful.
But another thing we need to think about, and it's around, you know, whether we should panic or not. Personally, I think, you know, panicking is never a good idea in investing. But one other thing to look at is that the way we get news presented to us about the macroeconomic environment in the world or whatever is very biased. So, for instance, we're only hearing the bad news, right? So we hear about the virus and that's bad news. But we don't hear counterbalancing things on the other side that are positive news for the macroeconomic economy. So, let me give you one that probably hasn't, you know, won't be getting any attention on the main news. But today, this is Friday, the 7th, we said, didn't we? The US non-farm payrolls jobs numbers came out, and the expectations apparently were 156,000. I actually thought it was higher than that. I thought it was 200, but they're saying the expectations was 156. They actually came out with 225,000 jobs. So it looks like the US economy is absolutely chugging along very nicely, a lot stronger than most other economies. And it's a case of how much does that offset problems elsewhere? And that's the same thing going all around the world.
It's an important point, Pete. I mean, obviously, as you know, if you're looking at it from a GDP perspective, if certain things aren't being able to supply from China for whatever it is,
that's a big negative shock.
Then that's a shock for global GDP. However, there's going to be other countries potentially benefiting from that who may be able to step in, you know.
Yeah.
But there's certain things as core supply chain countries, China is the first place to go to. And for certain things, Pete, there isn't a second alternative, really, unless can start manufacturing overnight at something they've never produced before.
Yeah.
And ordinarily, you've got your supply chain and you've got one set of companies that are doing it for you in and around Asia. And another, you know, your backup is also in Asia because it's a low cost environment sometimes to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm not sure America's going to be stepping in creating jobs because of this in the space of 2 or 3 weeks. But I'm sure there's things that they need as well that are going to be impacted by this as well.
And I guess, but also on that bigger macro theme, you know, it's not just America is doing well. We've got Germany that was having a bit of a slowdown for a while, has started to put out some much more positive manufacturing numbers and stuff. Mm. So maybe this virus is hitting us, which is obviously a negative shock, at the same time that other things are actually picking up again. So maybe across it all, it will balance out or whatever it will do. But anyway, something else I just want to mention quickly is you're saying about, you know, individual companies being hit. I'm actually holding a stock which I think has benefited from this whole virus problem. And that is Tristel, TSTL. And that one has absolutely shot up in the last week or so. It's been nuts, which obviously I'm very happy about.
When you say it's up, what sort of percentage are you talking in the last week? How much has it moved?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what, I think it did 6% today.
Wow.
So I think it has probably done 15% or something over the last week or so.
Okay.
And they do, disinfectants and cleaning. They specialize in cleaning wipes for endoscopes. So endoscopes are things you shove up people and in people and whatever into whether people have holes, yeah.
And is there any politer way you could have said that, Pete?
Well, it might have been. I don't know. I'm just trying to keep it as it is. You know what I mean?
Oh, I always feel like I have to referee this thing. Oh,
yeah. So you got these like probes. You got probes, right?
Yes.
These probes go into people, and obviously, you know, if you don't clean them properly, you're going to spread infection and stuff. And these probes are too expensive to just throw away.
Of course.
So So Tristel do these special cleaning wipes and special procedure that is all about, you know, whatever. So presumably that's part of the reason they've done so well, but it is a bit of a weird one. I'm not complaining.
No. If you've got it in your portfolio, I'm sure you know you and a few others have. And,
oh yeah.
You know, and there's a benefit in you know in the situation for a stock that you've got. Then you know that's a bonus because invariably there's going to be a stock that's going to be negatively impacted, so it might balance it out for you, Pete. So you know.
I mean, there's no doubt about that. But again, it comes back to our classic thing about diversification. Absolutely. You know, if you have a spread of stuff in your portfolio, it's definitely going to withstand the storms better than one that's only got a small number of stocks and they're all in the same kind of things.
Absolutely. I've just pulled up a chart for it. It's not far off its 52-week high. It's gone up from sub 370 going back to 22nd of
not long ago.
Part of January. It's gone up 10%, Pete, overall.
Oh, lovely.
So they've done all right, mate, in the past month or so. Yeah.
And that's a big position for me. And I think I've held it for about 5 years.
Yeah.
So I've done, you look at that chart over 5 years, it's been an absolute cracker for me. And I've top sliced it before. So
yeah.
I'm happy with that. Something I was just going to add about the macro thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't obsess too much about macro news in that, you know, we get the negative thing of the virus, we get positive things from other things, and there's so many factors. I just don't think we can really ascertain what is really driving the markets. So what I tend to look at more is what the charts are telling me. And as far as I can see, in, for instance, the US charts, like the S&P 500, the NASDAQ, the Dow, these things are so bullish at the moment. You know, we had a little dip last week or whatever, they dropped back, but they soon recovered. And it's just so bullish. And I'm seeing that across all the indexes, to be honest.
The indexes, this is the thing. I think it was Monday or Tuesday of the week when the markets moved negatively and then bounced back again. And I think it's each time there's a little bit of news that comes out which people go and take a sharp intake of breath.
Yeah.
You know, and seeing, I think at the end of last week or whatever day it was, when they saw people being transported, you know, in the UK, the UK market went, took a little, you know, intake of breath. I'm not sure what day that was. So yeah, it's one of them things, Pete. And invariably we try to, and we have done, you know, this, we're recalling that same sort of phrase of climbing a wall of worry, you know what I mean?
Mm.
And, the markets have done that for nearly a decade now and more. So this is another instance, you know, unrelated to the markets that's impacting the market. There's going to be companies that are impacted by it, but you know, tech and other associated companies are carrying the markets higher. You know, Apple came out with news and the was deemed to be stronger, you know, and that pulled the markets all up and everyone was rejoicing. So yeah, it's going to be there, Pete. There's going to be stuff that impacts the market at some point. And at some point, even though the markets and the charts are showing us a bullish sort of nature, we've got to be mindful of the fact that...
Oh, absolutely. And it's, as I say, rather than obsessing about the news, my focus is on looking at the charts and telling me, you know, and going by what the charts are telling me. And, you know, and it's related to the discussion we had on the last blog, I think it was. It was on number 15.2 that we recorded, where I was talking about maybe there could be a bubble at some point in time. And it's just got that sort of feel to it, really. But it's interesting that you look at the FTSE 100, you know, the UK stuff, it's dropped back into that sideways range again. It had broken out just after the general election and the Boris bounce. The FTSE 100 had broken out and it looked like it was going to charge up to 7.9 again. But with this bad news over the virus and stuff, it's dropped right back because a lot of it was the pound got moved up and down and whatever it did. So we seem to be back in a sideways range on the FTSE 100. And, I think it might take a while to get up out of that range again.
Unfortunately, the situation, Pete, is currencies and currencies, as what's moving the market more so than the virus is sterling, and what's happening with that. If it's going up or down, the FTSE and the FTSE All Share is moving accordingly. And obviously we've been knocked by the virus, if you want to call it that. But I think within the first 2 weeks of the year, all the stats were saying, and everyone, lots of the pundits were saying, 8,000 on the FTSE 100. It's on. We're having it this year. And we went down below 7.3, didn't we?
I mean,
Only a few days ago, only last week. So we're back at put 7,466, which finished today. Where it's going to go from here, the charts are pointing higher, but we just got to wait and see what happens over the weekend, unfortunately. Because I just pulled up the latest stats, Pete, and it's saying from yesterday's stats we had 720 known deaths. There's now 636, and the World Health Organization has declared it a global health emergency regarding this new virus. Obviously they've got cases in America as well of people returning home with that. The six states in the US now that have confirmed cases of the coronavirus.
Yes, see, that's more of a concern, isn't it? The fact that it's definitely got into the States. But again, you look at the numbers we're actually getting compared to normal flu, it's not even close.
It's not even close.
Not even close. And you look at it as a percentage of the population of China, it's nothing. It
It's nothing,
don't
but
register. So
you say you've got to be mindful of these certain animals can travel distances and blah blah blah. They have to eradicate this, and they have to eradicate it fast because
They need to.
people are living so close together, and now they're confined in certain spaces together. So they've got to address it. And I think once again, it's going back to the conversation we used to have about Brexit, Pete. You've got to have everybody communicating and working together. This is not a Chinese problem. You know what I mean? The World Health Organization has to get every scientist that they possibly can from everywhere in the world that specialize in these sort of diseases to work together.
Oh, so true. And you can already see it where the Chinese ambassador has been, upset with the UK and with America for spreading panic and whatever, they all need to just start singing from the same song sheet for a change.
Absolutely,
Would be
absolutely.
nice. Something else to think. Oh yeah, I was just going to say, something else to bear in mind with the markets this year is that the statistics for the market in a US presidential year are massively towards gains, like unbelievable, like in something like it's crazy, like in something like 40 years where there's been elections, there's been something like 38 years where the market's gone up. So, and I doubt that will change with, Trump being involved, because he's going to be making sure the central, the Fed, the central bank keeps interest rates low and stuff.
Oh yeah,
So, yeah, I think we're going to see the markets juiced big time this year. So
juice is
it'll
the
take a
right
lot to
word, mate.
derail. It'll take a lot to derail them, I think.
Yeah, juice is the right word, mate. But again, we stumbled on it last time we spoke about the debt levels and negative yields and all the rest of it, Pete. If something's going to happen to impact the market, it will be something or other regarding certain people not being able to pay the debt. And there was something the other day about I think it was ING, some debt thing that wasn't repaid. So we've got to watch the other news that isn't the news that is the news, if that makes sense, folks. And not just be looking at the RNS regarding your stock. Look a bit wider as to what's going on away from your stock that could impact you. And it's not just a virus, it's other stuff going on out there away from your own stock. Look a bit further away from it, and you might see something. You go, ha ha, what's it? What? Join the dots, essentially, is what I'm saying.
Put all the information together.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Hey, mate, I had a stock today that surprised me with the Forex thing,
Go
which
for
was quite interesting. I recently bought some shares in Hypnosis. I can't even pronounce it.
Yeah, song.
Yeah, Hypnosis Songs Fund. So that's SONG is the ticker, and it's a funny one because it floated on the market, I don't know, a year ago or something. And I was always fascinated by it. You know what I mean? It was just one of those that kept drawing me to it all the time. I kept reading about it. Every time they put an RNS out, I was on it. Do you know what I mean? I was on it. And I've been really impressed by what they do. They buy the rights to songs. So what they've been doing is buying song catalogues. So I think the other day they bought a song catalogue of something like 73 songs, and one of the songs in it was Believe, the one by Cher. Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Massive song. I was going to sing it, but I won't.
Please don't.
Absolutely massive song, you know, immense. But the thing is, right, the whole tunes, music, pop, rock, whatever, the whole world is changing because of downloads. So, you know, people can just access downloads like for nothing, or on Spotify and stuff, they can pay a small subscription and they can just get whatever songs they want.
Yeah.
But the point is, right, the people who write the songs get a minuscule little royalty. I mean, you can't even see it. It's so small. But because these songs are getting played millions and millions of times a day,
yes,
they get a nice royalty stream from it. And Song have bought up, I mean, they seem to focus for the first few catalogues they bought. They were buying sort of quite contemporary stuff. So, you know, a lot of the pop music you hear in the charts, like they own, you know, that Titanium by Sia, which is absolutely massive song. Yeah. You can sing it if you want, mate. That Titanium, again, massive song. They own the rights to that and all sorts of songs. But I also noticed that they've now got the rights to, what's that? The bloke on The Voice, the rock, sort of rock band. I Predict a Riot. What's their name? Kaiser Chiefs.
Yeah.
Kaiser Chiefs. They've got the rights to everything the Kaiser Chiefs does. And they've got some other rock stuff like Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
So, you know, some really good stuff. They've got a little bit of hip hop, not much. I'd like to see them do more. I'd like to see them do more hip hop. I'd like to see them do more rock. But in terms of contemporary pop, going back about 20 years, they've got it covered. You know, they've got such great, strong catalogues. Justin Timberlake, Beyonce. Oh, yeah, all of it, mate. All the big names. But anyway, what I was coming to was that they put out a statement today. Yeah. And it was a little bit disappointing because the NAV had dropped, so net asset value had dropped to something like 102 pence, right? 102 pence. And the shares were up at 108. But I think they dropped back to about 105 or maybe 104 today. But what really seemed to do the damage was the foreign exchange impact because of the pound rising against the dollar.
Okay, yeah.
So that was a little bit annoying. But the thing that's more pleasing is that they said in there about the dividend payment, and the dividend is pretty much covered. It's not quite by a tiny amount, but it's paying something like 1.25 pence of dividend, and the cover was like 1.24. So basically the royalties that they receive pretty much are covering the dividend. And I think as time goes on and they grow that revenue stream, we'll see the dividend more covered. That's what I'm expecting. And it works out a dividend of something like 4.7%. So I think it will be a good, steady income stock. I'm going to do more research on it because I only bought a small amount to get me into it, because I've just thought if I don't get and buy some, it's just going to drive me nuts. So I bought a few. Which is unusual for me because normally I do all my in-depth research first. But on this one, because I've been following it for so long, I just thought, I'm going for it. But I will do more research. I'm going to write a really detailed blog about it.
Okay, dokie. All right.
Have you looked at it at all?
I have only briefly, in the sense of when I've seen the odd RNS, I've had a look to see who they've purchased and what catalogues they've bought. But with regards to my income portfolio, Pete, I tend to look at property and insurance as incomes, and I'm looking for 4.5%+ and
Yeah.
6% sort of capital gains. I'm looking for a total of minimum of 10 to 15% per year for my income
Oh, so
portfolio.
you've got quite a high target. I mean, I target around 7 or 8% total return on mine, and it's probably doing pretty near that. But I'm looking for sort of 5% for the actual dividend element. So, yeah.
Part of it is that I tend in my income portfolio, I tend to hold about 6 or 7 stocks, but I
Yeah.
rotate them. So once I've achieved 15%, 20%, 30%, if it runs ahead, if I pick a stock and it's quite fortunate that I've done that and it does well, I'll then exit it and I think, right, okay, and I'll reinvest that amount again in the next one. Yeah, so I'm compounding that 30, 40, 50% that I've got in that
Well,
particular one in the
that's
next
quite
one.
interesting
And
because,
do that again.
yeah, that's quite interesting because I'm having a bit of a quandary at the moment because I've held some. So, like, say for instance, right, AstraZeneca, yeah. I know you've got billions of those. I hold AstraZeneca in my income portfolio, and it's done really well. You know, the share price has just gone up and up, as we know. But the problem with that is that as the share price rises, obviously the dividend yield drops. So I think now it's probably only about 3% dividend yield. So it's like way off of the 5% that I sort of say I want. So I'm now in a quandary. Do I sell AstraZeneca and put the money into another stock that pays a higher dividend? Or do I stick with AstraZeneca and accept that I'm going to have a lower dividend overall? And I haven't really resolved this problem.
If you look at what Buffett has done, yeah, and
Yeah.
look at what he's done with the stocks that he's held the longest, Pete, yeah, those dividends that are being paid on Coca-Cola, Pepsi, and otherwise now are minuscule. Yeah,
Yeah, and he's
he's
made the money on the capital gain. Yeah.
compounding the capital gains and the minuscule income.
Yeah.
That is what you're compounding, my friend, because you're still getting 3% on the bulk of what you purchased earlier.
Well,
Yeah.
on what I purchased, on the purchase price of AstraZeneca, I'm getting like 5.5%. I mean, it's
And there,
beautiful. Yeah.
there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I think it also comes into the other parameters of your income portfolio. So my income portfolio, one of the parameters is it's a do nothing portfolio. I don't actually want to trade it at all,
Right.
unless I have to. Do you know what I mean? It's, and in a way, it's almost like a sort of sanity check on my other investing behavior, because it's like, because it's interesting, because it, I mean, like last year, my income portfolio did 19.7%, which is nuts.
That's
And
really
I did,
good. Yeah.
I literally did like two trades, I think. I mean, it's just ridiculous how little I do to it, and it still pumps in pretty good returns. So I quite like having it as part of my diversification, having this sort of thing off to the side, which doesn't have as much money, you know, as where my serious money is. But it's a really interesting little thing that I'm doing, and I will grow it over time.
That's the beauty of choosing good stocks, Pete. I mean,
Yeah.
and it's choosing the stocks that not necessarily everyone's looking at, because the one of the big contributors for me last year, other than AstraZeneca in my income portfolio, was Bloomsbury Publishing. It's just
Oh,
a
no one.
book company, and it's been sitting there chugging along, you know, doing what it's doing, and no one's interested. It's not racy enough. It's not being talked about. You know
So
what I mean?
exciting.
But last year, the total returns for last year was 28%, right?
Which is a good return,
Which
isn't
is a good return. Annualized over 3 years, it's 21%.
it? Yeah,
Yeah?
21% per year.
Per
Yeah.
year
Yeah.
compounded. So
Super.
I'm happy with that.
Of
You
course you
know,
are.
I turned over Beazley a little while back. You know, I turned over Smith and Nephew a little while back. I've got Smurfit Kappa in my income portfolio that's doing all right. And I've been out of that, I've come back in. And it's edging towards new highs again. So it's done probably 30, 35% in the last 6 months that I purchased it again for the second time. So,
Yeah.
you know, you don't have to have a racy stock. And the whole point of income is that you're looking for 2 or 3% dividend yield minimum, but you're looking for 7 to 7+ capital gains. So you're looking for a good round 10% if
Yeah.
you can. So you're doubling the whole portfolio every 7 years. That's the rule of 72. Back we're back to talking to that about that again. So you don't have to go, and these people that came out in the new year saying, you know, end of last year with 50, 60, 70%, 100% on their portfolio, good luck with that. You know what I mean? If that's what you're doing in your portfolio. But we don't have to all try and match that, because in doing so, we'll invariably take more risk. You're not competing against anybody else. You're competing against your previous return, no one else's return, folks, okay?
Yeah, yeah, that's exactly it. You're competing against your own expectations.
Absolutely.
So don't set yourself unrealistic expectations. Don't think, oh, because such and such a person did 60% last year, I've got to do 60%. Because you'll just trip up if you try doing that. You'll get yourself in a mess.
Yeah,
keep it sensible. Target 10, 15% a year, whatever, something sensible, and you've got a chance of achieving it. Because you're going to be mightily fed up if you just keep missing your targets every year because they're just too ridiculously high.
Absolutely. I mean, I'm talking about slipping up. I noticed there was an RNS. I'm trying to find out what date it was now. I'm just going to go and have a quick look here, Pete.
Yeah.
And this will mean something to some people, and a lot of people who have tried to put it in the back of their thoughts. But there's a company called Cloud Buy, Peter. Do you remember
that name?
I
saw it today.
Yeah.
I saw it today. It's been delisted.
Yeah, so proposed cancellation of AIM, blah, blah, blah. And it looks like it's finally gone. Yeah.
Oh, it's just...
But that was a stop, mate. And we go back, and I know we keep saying it, guys, ladies and gents. You know, stay away, stay away, stay away. There's going to be stocks that's ramped by X, Y, and Z talking about how great this stock is, and it's going to go to the moon, yada, 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 yada. Right?
And we only say it for new listeners and inexperienced people. You know, if you're experienced and you buy stuff like Cloud Buy, then, you know, that's up to you. You know, you're big enough and ugly enough to look after yourself. But what we're thinking about is there's a lot of new people who come on to listen to our podcast, read our tweets, go on our websites, blah, blah, blah. You know, but we don't want these guys losing money. It's just no need for it. Stick to quality stocks and you just avoid a lot of problems.
Absolutely. The frustrating thing is, right, there were hundreds, literally hundreds of tweets every single day at the peak of the ramp fest in this stock. Yeah.
Cloud Buy was ridiculously
ramped. It was ridiculously overvalued. It never, all the hopes and aspirations and rainbows did not actually appear for this particular stock. But people kept ramping it and talking about it, even up to the beginning of January. There's still people tipping and talking about this share. You know, if you want to learn how to avoid stocks that are going to be ramped, look at the people who were only recently in January talking about Cloud Buy as if it's something good is going to materially happen. You know, a phoenix from the ashes. Have a look at that. Look at the ticker symbol, hashtag CBUY on Twitter, and look at the people that were talking about that stock. You know, and those are the people you need to avoid, because they're going to be talking about another POS stock that's absolutely rubbish any day soon.
That's exactly how it works. Hey, on that income portfolio, I was just going to say there's another distinction as well about how you run it. So, for instance, right, if you run an income portfolio and you actually take the income from it, you take it to spend and live, yeah, then there's probably more of a case for keeping the overall portfolio dividend payout pretty high, you know, 4 or 5%, whatever you need, yeah? But if you're in a situation like me where you're not actually taking that money for spending, it's just more of an approach, really, then I can get away with letting things like AstraZeneca PHP, Primary Health Property, that one has just shot up. So the dividend yield has dropped right down. But because it's been such a great stock, I just don't want to sell it, because I just think it's such a beautiful little thing and I want to keep it. And I'll accept that my dividend yield overall is going to be lower than ideally it would be. But you see that distinction, yeah, obviously.
Absolutely. I've got to have that distinction, Pete. You know,
yeah.
We've each got stocks in our portfolio which have not performed in the past year and a half.
I got millions of those.
Right? So if you're looking for something to sell, get rid of those. Because they can't perform when the markets are really doing really, really well. What's going to happen to them when the markets doesn't do so well? You know, we're talking
about... Yeah, when are they going to perform, yeah.
Yeah, so if they haven't been able to perform in the last 2 years, what's going to be the catalyst for this stock to turn around? It, you know, if it's down 40% plus, you need it to go 100% back the other direction to get to break even if you haven't averaged down.
Yeah.
So why would you sell something that's up 40% and keep something that's down 40%?
And that's the classic problem, isn't it, is people cutting off their winners too soon and then hanging on to the losers and getting hurt that way as well. So, yeah.
It goes back, Pete. I keep repeating this, and this is something really, really important that everybody needs to do. Forget about buying the book 100 Bagger, right? Buy a book about psychology. Find out what your strengths and weaknesses are regarding your own psychology. Yeah, do a SWOT analysis of what tends to happen when a share price is going up. What do you do? What do you do when that share price
getting
is
all going excited up? And yeah.
What do you do when the share price is going down? What do you do when you know you have to sell? What do you do when you haven't sold it and it goes down even lower? Yeah, get yourself prepared for when the market's not going your way. So you've got a system in place that you can keep refining and keep refining and keep refining. Peter and I, right, Wheelie Dealer and I, Wheelie Dealer and Conkers 3, haven't got that thing mastered yet. We are still learning. There's still stuff in our portfolio that we should have got rid of. But we're telling everyone to keep learning, to get better at this stuff. Don't keep hanging on to losers, yeah, because some of them may not ever improve.
Well, I've definitely got a problem with those. I mean, one that I got hit with I think it was this week or last week. It does me in. French Connection, FCCN. Yes. I mean, another mate of ours on Twitter that I speak to, Aston Girl Rebecca. We've got a little, it's almost like become a bit of a joke between the two of us, where every time we meet or we speak, she always digs me about FCCN. And I always say, it's going to recover, it's going to recover. And it never bloody does. It's driving me nuts. And anyway, it came out. It had been up for sale. So I was thinking, great, it's up for sale. I'm finally going to get rid of this absolute pig. And of course, what happens? It goes and announces the sale's not going to happen. So it like crashed like 30% or something in one day. I was like, no, I don't believe it.
But Pete, I'm going to ask the question. You're still holding that now, aren't you?
Yeah, I am. I mean, the only I'm holding it is because I got virtually nothing in it. So it makes so little difference to anything. But I am really getting to the point where I'm thinking I've really had enough of this flipping thing. And I'm thinking that one and another one or two that I've got that have been a bit doggy, I'm sort of thinking if I sold those, that would free up a little bit of cash, not much. But more importantly, it would free up a slot because I have the concept of slots. I allow myself 40 stocks, so 40 slots, yeah?
Yeah.
And at the moment, I've actually got 41. So I need to sell some stuff before I can buy something else. Yeah. So, yeah.
Well, I think it was the last podcast I mentioned getting hit when I traveled into a region that I shouldn't have traveled, you know, with Hurricane Energy. Yeah.
Yeah.
And since then, the stock's gone ever lower. There's more negativity around it. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the stock was 46, 48 pence at its peak. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, it 60, did really 60, well, 60, didn't
sorry,
it?
60, 64 and a half pence at its peak.
Yeah.
In the last 52 week range, right? And up to December, it's still cozying along, going along 46 pence. Yeah. It's 17 and a half pence now, Pete. 17 pence. Oh. And people are still hanging on there, hoping and praying, hoping and praying, and hoping and praying. I took my hit, took my lesson. If it rebounds for people, I'll be very, very happy for them. Yeah. But what you've got to remember as well, that at some point or other, they've got convertible loans that they're going to have to address.
So now, those convertible loans will convert into shares?
Into shares. So, what
so you're going to have a massive dilution?
Massive dilution.
Yeah. That's
so funny. At some point or other, they've got to have some sort of success to push that price back up beyond where the convertible loans are meant to convert.
Yeah.
Otherwise, the dilution is going to be massive. At 60 pence, £1 would have been happy, no problem sorting that debt out. Mm. At 17 and a half pence, where's it going after that? Need some results, mate. So,
You reminded me of something. Because you mentioned the word convertible, you know, we were talking about SONG, S-O-N-G, earlier, hypnosis.
Yeah.
One of the things that has been concerning people about SONG is that they had a load of what they call C shares, right? So it's a different class of shares. So you get like ordinary shares, you get like preference shares, and you get things like C shares or whatever. Yeah. So they had these things called C shares, and what they had done was they issued C shares to get money so they could then go and buy more song catalogs. And then at some point, the C shares would convert into ordinary shares. Now, on the face of it, that sounds horrible. You know, it sounds really bad idea. But actually, it's not as stupid as it sounds, because what they, as long as the money from the C shares is invested in decent catalogs that are paying similar returns and at similar valuations to the ones they've bought previously, when it converts, you won't be diluted. And actually, they announced in that update today that that's exactly what has happened. They've done the conversion, and basically it's made no difference. So that's good news, because it's basically, C shares are not the problem that people think they are.
Okay, well, that's the bonus for everybody then, isn't it? That's a bit of relief. That's probably going to help the
price. Oh, it is. Yeah, I think
that's a little bit as well.
I think there's a lot of people who've probably looked at Song and thought, oh, I don't fancy it because of those C shares.
Yeah. Yeah.
But actually, once they sort of get their head around what it really means, it's not that big a deal. So yeah. So that's rather good. Hey, we were talking about books earlier. Well, yep. I was incredibly lucky because my mate Mark Otten, it's either Otten Mark or Mark Otten on Twitter. Good mate of mine. I've known him for like 20 years or something. Really good investor. Really good. And he bought me some books for my birthday, which is rather good of him. And he's bought me the Stan Weinstein one. Yeah, I think you've read that, haven't you?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. And he bought me Mark Minervini.
So, excellent. Both excellent books.
Please. Yeah. It's absolutely inspired. I don't know what made him think that I hadn't read them, but it was absolutely spot on. So I'm well chuffed with that. So, I mean, you know, I probably won't be reading them till over the summer because I just seem to be so busy with so many other things. But yeah, thanks, Mark. It's brilliant. And I'll probably be writing some blogs about those books.
Cool, cool. Pete, I wanted to quickly touch on some of the winners that that the markets have churned out over the 4 weeks.
Yeah.
Since the markets have been fully open. And these are stocks that some people wouldn't even have considered as well. Mm-hmm. Kia Group, which is debt laden, you know, infrastructure, blah, 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 blah.
Oh,
in the last 4 weeks is up 21%. Costain, again, been in difficulties and struggled.
Oh, 18%.
Yeah.
Wow.
Integrafin, yeah, 18%.
What's Integrafin? What's the code on that?
IHP.
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 I've heard of it, but I've never really taken any notice of that one.
Yeah,
is that construction?
No, it's not.
Oh, it's trading software or something, isn't it?
Bear with me a second, caller.
It is.
It's one of the largest independent rap platforms in the UK. Not rappers in music.
Yeah.
Transact offers advisory professionals a comprehensive financial planning infrastructure. Blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, it does like SIPs and stuff, the SIP wrappers and the ISA wrappers and stuff. Yeah, they do the admin and whatever, yeah.
That's correct, yeah.
Oh, I do know that one, yeah.
Crest Nicholson, everyone knows, up 16%. Indivia, it's up 16%. And the one that I said that was going to get to £3, Pete, which one is it? One that you hold? Pets at Home is now £3.07.
Oh, mate.
In 4 weeks.
I couldn't believe it.
So another miss by me on that one. There you go.
Oh, man, I've been so lucky with that because it went up to like 285 or something and it was sort of bimbling around. It dropped back a lot and everyone seemed to lose interest in it like they do. And I noticed just lately it started to perk up and then it broke out and it went above 300. And I was like, yes, you know, now it's done 300. I think there's a good chance it's going to go up a bit more, I think.
It's got less resistance now. All the negativity that was there at this time last year, it was around January, wasn't it, this time last year? The opportunity was there to get it at 115, 120, blah, blah, blah. Nobody wants it. Oh, people only want stocks when they're rising, Pete. And this is what I'm saying. You've got to do your research and not wait for, you know, X, Y, and Z to say this is a stock to buy. I saw the scramble this morning for Simon Thompson's bargain stocks for 2020.
Oh, yeah.
And people were complaining they couldn't get it because all the stocks had moved up 20% in the first 30 seconds, you know? You do your research and hopefully you'll have a stock in your portfolio that he tips. You know, don't wait for him to tip it.
Funny you should mention that because I just wanted to, because believe it or not, before we do these podcasts, even though they're completely unscripted, as you can probably tell, I do make a few notes of odd things that I wouldn't mind, you know, discussing. I'm sure you do the same, Pete, don't you?
No.
But anyway, so well, you've always seemed to have a good idea what you want to talk about. Anyway, I want to say, I know Simon Thompson Bargain Chairs. I mean, it is really good. I mean, Simon's record is very strong. You know, he's good at choosing shares. But what I would say is that the thing to do is to see what is in his bargain shares and stuff. And it's certainly worth buying a copy of Investor's Chronicle and reading about the companies. But the thing is, don't buy them straight away. You know, what tends to happen is they jump up and then give it 2 or 3 weeks, they'll just fall back. So, you know, you'll get plenty of opportunities to be buying these things if you really want them. And to be honest, I looked at that list of what is in the bargain shares last night. And for me personally, it was only a couple. I think it was CRL, Crichton's. And I think it was PCF. What was it? Private and Commercial Finance. They were the only two that I thought, yeah, I like those. Like, you know, those are quite nice. Some of it in there, I just thought, oh God, they look a bit iffy. So I don't know if he's got the right, if he's going to be as successful this year. I don't know.
Well, like you say, it just depends on how the markets flow, doesn't it? You know, I've got to touch on the fact that, you know, there's a stock that I've held for some time now. From the equivalent of, I think, 89.7 pence, that was up at nearly 16 quid, and it's been attacked 3 times now.
Oh, yeah.
By the bears and the rebel rousers accusing the company of this, that, and the other. And the stock got hit this week. So I'm talking about Future Shares, ticker symbol FUTR.
Yeah.
And it's one, I'm sitting there and I'm going, bring it on. You know what I mean? Attack it as much as you want. You know, this company's a multi-billion pound company now, and it's got great management, great infrastructure, and it's been attacked. And you know, if they can prove it, then the stock's going to get hit again and come down. Today it's up 7% and finished at £12.50. You know, not so long ago it was nearer to 17 quid, I think, and or something like that. I've lost track of it.
Yeah.
But you know, invariably, if a stock does well, and sometimes does too well, then it's going to be attacked by people. So sorry, 15,
they become a target, don't they?
Yeah, 1572 was what it got to. It's a 1.1 billion pound company. So those that have got in late, and invariably people like to buy stocks when they're going up. You know, people were buying it at 10, 11, 12, 14 pounds. It then goes up to nearly £16, but unfortunately for some people, it's now back at twelve quid and £12.50, and it's one of them. I don't know how it's going to finish and the outcome and all the rest of it, you know. But for those that were only in it at the beginning of the year, at 15, 16 quid, to see it go down to nearer to 11, it's not nice.
Gut wrenching, yeah.
Absolutely, but this is the market. This is the nature of investing. People, nothing goes up in a straight line. You know, and if you're buying a stock and you are looking for that 100 bagger, then, you know, good luck to you. You know, you've got to be able to hold a stock for an average 25 years to get a 100 bagger. You know, so if you can't hold it for 3 months from November through to February, then you haven't got a chance.
That's ordered for 25 days after people like, anyway.
This is it. So I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying it's a perfect stock. I'm not saying that this isn't, the attack is unwarranted. I don't know. I'm just saying.
Yeah. That's just your take on it. Am I right in thinking that a director bought a load of shares in Future?
Yeah. The CEO, Zilla Brinthorne, bought 100K. Another CEO bought nearly 100K's worth. The Employment Benefit Trust bought £1.3 million worth.
These are big amounts.
These are big amounts, Pete. You know, whether that will address the bears or not, still doesn't address the unanswered questions, you know. So we'll see how that pans out.
I think with all these sort of bear raid things, it does take a while to play out, you know. Yeah. Unless there's suddenly a takeover bid or something, which means it will shoot up. You know, quite often you've got to grit your teeth and ride through it for quite a while. But, you know, that's life, isn't it, really?
It is. The problem has been... if you remember, don't need to remember, it's still in existence. Melrose, Pete, MRO.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
It's an acquirer. So it goes out and it buys companies that are distressed or underperforming.
Yeah, engineering things.
Engineering. And it, so it goes in there and it buys it at PS times whatever.
Yeah.
And it goes in there, does what it needs to do, gets rid of the rubbish, enhances it, and then sells it times PS plus.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's what it's done. Yeah. And that's what Future has done, essentially. But it's done it on the media thing. They're saying, essentially, if you bought these at two times price per sales, but now you're wanting seven or eight for it, how is that possible? Well, if you've got the infrastructure and you've got the reach and you've taken something from being a regional entity to a global entity, then potentially that could be the reason why you're getting that value. The PE sky high on Future, by the way, you know.
But so, you know, I was going to come on to that. It's an interesting point because I think, you know, with Future, when you were buying Future ages ago, you were probably buying it on a forward PE of probably 10, 11 or whatever it was, yeah? But
Pete, let me interrupt you. I bought Future when it was priced to die. Yeah?
Yeah.
It was priced to be out of business. And they basically were saying, look, we're going to chop all these jobs and get rid of all these people. And you know what? We're going to stop this printing side of it. And we're just going to go, you know, took the knife to this company. But nobody was interested in it then, Pete.
Yeah. So once it started recovering and you were looking at PEs and stuff, they were probably, you know, 10, 11, 12, whatever they were. But the point is, you're buying it at a price where the chances are you could see the company was starting to recover. And, you've got a very good margin of safety in there.
Yeah, that's it.
If you're buying Future when it's on a forward PE of 32, you're already taking on a lot of valuation risk. You are basically assuming that it is going to keep beating earnings or it's going to, you know, grow fast, whatever. So you're taking quite a lot of risk.
Absolutely. You can caveat that, Pete, and say, when you're buying something which is on its belly, you know, May 2014, Pete, Future was on its knees.
Yeah? Mm.
And it needed to sell, you know, its sports and its craft titles and blah, 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 and really just, you know, sort itself out.
Yeah.
Risk there as well. There's huge risk that it's just not going to happen. And we've seen certain stocks that try that, Debenhams and people like that who have tried it, Mothercare that have tried it, you know, Carillion that tried it, Cake, well, that's a whole different story. And they just don't, it just doesn't happen for them. But with this was a tech play, a recovery, a transition to tech, you know, and not just print. And the team there and CEO saw that this was an opportunity to reinvigorate this company and take it to the next level. And that's what's happened to it from 2014. Six years ago, nobody wanted this stock when it was a sub £50 million company. Yeah.
And now
it's a £1.1 billion company.
And it comes back to what you were saying earlier about patience. You know, sometimes you've got to understand the value of what you've got. And yeah, it's not, you know, it's not going up all the time. People just want to buy shares that are going up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you buy a share that isn't going up and it's just going sideways and it's not doing very much at all. And I had very much the same thing with good old MPAC. You know me, I can't bear to do a podcast without mentioning MPAC.
Again.
Actually, there's a serious...
It's had a brilliant year to date, mate. And I keep looking at it going, and I keep remembering it as Mullins. That's how I remember it.
Yeah, well, that's interesting because I think part of the reason it's done so well is because a lot of people still think of it as Mullins and they think, oh, I don't want tobacco.
Yes.
And they also think, oh, it's got a massive pension deficit.
Yes.
Well, both those things are wrong. It's got nothing to do with tobacco anymore. It doesn't sell any machinery for tobacco packaging. And it sorted out its pension deficit. So two massive negatives are actually a false interpretation of what's really going on.
And this is the beauty of doing research and knowing what you own, Pete.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're not waiting to be told, here's the latest thing from this magazine and that magazine and blah, 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 and this tip sheet to buy it. You know what you've got there. You've done the research. You know that the debt's gone. You know that the transition from where they were before to a new entity. And that's
an all-new management. All new management, which is the thing I always want. I mean, it's funny, I was thinking to myself the other day, I mean, I know you do this a lot. I've seen you do it, yeah? And you do really well on recovery stocks. And that is exactly what MPAC is. It's a recovery stock. You know, it's a situation that went very bad, but new management came in, they sorted it out, changed the strategy, changed the direction, and now it's doing really well. And part of the reason I just wanted to mention it on the podcast is I know I've got a lot of people I know are in MPAC. And I just wanted to say that, you know, it's done really, really well. But for me, I'm still targeting minimum for 400 pence. I mean, we're almost at that now. But I actually think my target is 600p. And at some point, I will need to top slice because my position's getting pretty damn meaty now. It's almost getting too big. But I'm going to be holding a load until 600p, no doubt about it. And I wouldn't be surprised if it even manages to surpass that in time. But I'm going to be patient. I'm going to stick with it.
Well, I mean, it's only a £75 million-ish company. It's gone from 52-week low of 128, £1.28, to a 52-week high of £3.75. So that's, you know, three times your money from the low. Yeah.
Oh, it's been beautiful.
Yeah,
I
it's
am.
had a little bit of a trim obviously today because people are taking profits before the weekend. But that's done exceptionally well for you, Pete. So big
Yeah.
congratulations for
I'm
that,
pretty
mate.
sure I'm in at around 140, I think, something like that, my average
Sweet.
is. Because I bought loads over time and stuff. So yeah, it's been rather sweet.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Wish they were
No.
all like that, mate.
Oh, don't we all, mate? Don't we all? You know what I
But it's
mean?
funny actually, it comes back to what we were saying earlier about losers and winners, yeah. The funny thing was, I held it as Molins. And for a long time, it was a really irritating, annoying stock that I held. And you know, we could have had this conversation. You could have said to me, "Why are you holding bloody, you know, Molins, Emlyn? You should get rid of that." And this is one where I'm so pleased I didn't get rid of it. And because I could see the potential there, you know, Molins was a 140-year-old company. And it's like 140-year-old companies don't go bust just like that. You know, there's like a lot of reasons why this one could survive. And luckily, you know, it has done. And then I had the sense to buy more.
And this is the beauty of balance, Pete. Balance,
Yeah,
you
yeah.
know, and the psychology of, you know, sometimes you don't have to wait to rejoice the winners. Sometimes you've got to take a bit of trim. Sometimes you've got to be patient when it's losing, and vice versa. I mean, I'm not sure if I made a really poor decision here, but I sold out of SDI,
Oh,
Scientific Digital, yeah,
yeah.
this week, and the last tranche I've sold, having bought it 17th of January last year, so I've had it for just over a year, yeah,
Yeah.
and I sold the last tranche yesterday between 81 pence and 82 pence, and that gave me 141% return,
Oh, mate.
yeah,
I mean, in a year, that is just brilliant, isn't it? I mean,
absolutely. And what will I do with that? I'll compound that by, you know, reinvesting that amount of money
oh, yeah.
with another stock, and I'll try and do it again in the next year, you know, and that's how my portfolio will go. And you know, I'll also obviously have periods where I'll have the losers like Hurricane. Never get every single thing stock pick
We're always
right.
going to get caught on
Always going
something.
to get some
Yeah,
losers.
that's
But
life.
I bought it at just under 34 pence. Sold a tranche at just under. Just more than 60 pence in October of last year. Sold another tranche just over 79 pence, and sold the rest of it now for average of about 81.5 pence. And I'm gone, leaving it because I prefer IXICO
Yeah, you've
to
decided to move.
SDI.
Yeah, you've
Yeah.
put money
So
into others.
back to talking about AI again: pharma, biotech, medtech, digital
Oh,
imaging, blah blah blah.
you've mate, a couple of things. We've been talking for an hour,
Cool.
so we probably ought to draw it to a close fairly soon. You've reminded me of something there because you mentioned IXI, IXICO.
Yep.
I've got a feeling they are one of the companies at the Shares slash Chencos Tech Innovation and Growth Show, which is in Islington on this coming Tuesday. And I'm going to be there from probably about 12 o'clock, 1 o'clock, whatever time I get there, really. And I'll be hanging around and I'm easy to spot because I'm quite short.
Yeah, I need to give a shout out, Pete, probably to I think Let me just think. I think ShareSoc are going to be there as well, aren't they?
Oh, ShareSoc are usually there, yeah. And
Yeah.
some of the guys from ShareSoc are nearly always there,
Yeah,
definitely.
so you might see Mark Bentley and others down
Yeah,
there. Let me just
excellent.
have a little run through of this, Pete, and see so that people who are interested can get a little view of this. So obviously you're going to get have AJ Bell there. You've got Animal Care, Circle Property, Creo Medical, Diocentrics. I can't pronounce that right. Duke
Is it
Royalty,
Diaceutics?
Diaceutics,
Yeah.
sorry. Duke Royalty, Eden Research, Entertainment AI, never heard of them. Equals Group, Escape Hunt, Ardide, Ilika, Ingenta, Inspiration Healthcare Group, Intelligent Ultrasound, Interconics, Ixico, Lidco, Marlowe, Manolet, Miranda, MJ Hudson, what's it?
Open Orphan.
Open Orphan,
I
right?
can read your mind.
Yeah. OPG, Power Ventures, Sativa Group, Seeing Machines, Shares Magazine, obviously ShareSog, Shearwater, Shield Therapeutics, T. Clark, TrackWise, Velocity Composites, Water Intelligence, Expediter, and you're going to
Oh,
have
Water Intelligence.
the guys and ladies from Shares Magazine. My tech friend Steve Fraser will be there, the news editor, brilliant guy on tech, and you're going to have
Excellent.
Richard Penny from the Crux Asset Management, and you're going to have fantastic fund manager that is Gervais Williams. And that's
I
on
mean,
Tuesday.
I think that's a really good line. It's funny because when I booked, I always go every year. I've been for about 6, 7, 8 years.
I've been there
And
with you, Pete. Yeah,
yeah,
not
and when,
joking. I've been there
yeah, I
this year.
remember I was speaking, when I remember looking at list and thinking, oh, it's not much that interests me there. But now you've read them out, it's actually quite a few that I quite like the sound of.
Yeah, if it hasn't been, I've been going to London a lot, Pete, in the last 3 months. A lot of it I don't share on Twitter because it's different stuff I'm doing.
Yeah.
It's one of them I was like, oh, I've already just gone. I was Tuesday, Wednesday, I was down there again. I'm thinking, do I really want to go down again on Tuesday? I've got to go again in a week and a half's time for something else. And at the end of the month, I'm thinking, oh.
Well, you've
So
got to see how it goes, mate. And, you know,
I've not made my mind up yet about that one.
I'll definitely be there, and I know there's a load of people I know on Twitter are going to be there. So, yeah, it'd be a good laugh. And if anyone's there who doesn't particularly know me or whatever, but they follow me on Twitter, come and say hello. You know, just, mate, we're all sort of like up for a chat and whatever. It should be good. I mean, I actually hold Water Intelligence, WATR, so I'll be really keen to see that. I hadn't realised they were going to be there. And I really want to speak to Duke Royalty, DUKE. Really want to speak. I don't hold it, but I really want to speak to them.
Okie dokie. Right, Pete, this is the longest one we've done for ages, mate. I do
Yeah.
apologise, folks. We're in 1 hour and 7 minutes. So you might have to listen to this in two lots or go for a very, very long walk.
We were only going to do a quick one.
I'm only going to do a quick one. Right, ladies and gents, thank you ever so much again for listening to the Twin Peaks podcast.
And don't
Thank you
forget to subscribe.
thank you ever so much for subscribing. And those that haven't, please subscribe to our platforms on Apple, on SoundCloud, and Audioboom. And if you hear us and see us on Twitter and you like this podcast, please just give us a bit of feedback. We really love the feedback, the positive feedback, and anything else you hear that you want to share with us, please do. We didn't touch on the fact that Pete's thoughts last week were paraphrased and shared across Twitter when Pete was sharing his mindfulness that I've been preaching to him for a little while. So thank you at Paddy Spud. That was absolutely fantastic of you to share that
Made
with
me
people.
laugh. When Paddy sent that out, it just made me laugh so much. It was absolutely brilliant. It really cracked me up.
No,
Nice.
that it's the quality of the tweets, Pete. You know, quality of the guru status that you've got with everyone.
Oh dear.
You can
If
actually
people
get people
read
to.
that, they would absolutely laugh their socks off. But anyway, until next time, I reckon we need to make sure that you always wear a spoffle. That's my top advice. Yeah.
You've gone
Keep
from
your
guru
spoffle
to,
on.
oh dear, you've gone from guru status to Mr. Smut. Oh dear.
Mr. Spoffle. Mr.
What
Spoffle. Who's being smutty? It's all in your mind.
was the chap called again? Sid Snot, I'm thinking of, from Kenny
Sid
Everett.
Snot. Yeah, remember Sid Snot? Yeah, of all the
Sid
zits.
Snot.
God, blimey, we're showing our age now, mate. Be loads of people listening thinking, what the hell are they going on about?
Absolutely. So, as you know, to end with a paraphrase from Pete's quote and the last podcast, sooner or later, the market is going to go and kick you so hard in the ghoulies, or if you're a lady, it's going to smack you in the whatever. Ladies and gents, have a smashing weekend. Have a lovely week. Take care. Stay safe. God bless. We'll look forward to speaking to you again soon on the Twin Peaks podcast. This is me, Peter Higgins, at Conkers3, and Peter at Wheelie Dealer on Twitter, saying ciao for now. Take care.
Cheers. God bless. Thank
Bye-bye.
You.
Bye-bye.